Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
How do you know when you've reached burnout? My next guest told her husband that she couldn't live their life anymore. She was grinding to a halt. She'd lost interest in other people and was running on fumes. Writer Bethany Joy Dawson is with me here on the programme today. Bethany, good afternoon. Thanks a million for joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me.
You might bring us back to that moment, Bethany, and explain to us maybe what made you realise you'd hit burnout?
Yeah, I think, you know, these things don't happen overnight, do they? It was a slow kind of realization that probably took months, if not years, to kind of get to the point where I was able to articulate it. So even though in the piece I've sort of written it as this one moment, it was kind of the point at which I was able to actually say it out loud to my husband. It was both a scary moment and a liberating moment.
I was reading your piece, and it's a really striking piece actually in the Irish Independent about this, Bethany. And I think, you know, I imagine a lot of people probably find it quite even frightening to articulate that you've reached burnout.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of shame around that, isn't there? To be able to say actually, you know, I've made all of these choices and my life is in this particular place, but actually I'm not coping, or I can't do it anymore, or I thought I could do it all, but actually I can't do any of it. Yeah. You know, that's a really hard thing to say. And I suppose what's essential is that, you know, there's some kind of safe container for you to be able to articulate that. You know, it's a very vulnerable space. And so, you know, I think that if you don't have safety, or if you don't have the encouragement to be able to say it out loud, it's very difficult.
I'm sure for people listening, you know, this afternoon and to your own story, it's probably even hard to actually recognise what is burnout, you know, or maybe in each individual, it presents itself in different ways. For you, how did day to day look?
Well, I think what I just began noticing was that I just wasn't able to push through anymore. And I do have quite a capacity for, you know, holding lots of different things. And, you know, I was home educating my children at the time that this particular decision was made. And, you know, for years I was doing it pretty much on my own. My husband was doing his medical training, and, you know, we did house moves and we did all sorts of things in those years. And I just kept on going. And what I began to just pay attention to was this, like, I just wasn't able to generate the energy that was required to keep going. Like it did feel like grinding to a halt. And so, you know, we used to organize lots of social things with regard to the home education, and we would head off in the morning to meet people and to spend the day with them. And I noticed that as I was sort of driving out the driveway, all I was thinking about was, when can I just come home and this day is done and I've ticked my boxes and I can just, you know, sort of get into bed. And so it was, I mean, I was still able to function. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a catatonic state or anything like that, but it was just an awareness that if I don't do something, if I don't make a decision, this isn't headed anywhere good. Like, I don't have anything else to give. It was sort of that, an emptying.
Yeah. The tank was completely empty, Bethany. Yeah. Yeah. And when you finally, you know, got to a point where you talked to your husband about this and you articulated those words to him, was there a feeling of relief after that?
It was scary for me, because a lot of my identity at that time was structured around the fact that I had made this very sort of alternative education decision for my children, and I was handling it all myself. And people would say to me, I don't know how you do it. And I'd be like, oh, well, you know, I just do it. And I was doing it very happily for a long time. But definitely, so there was a part of me that knew that if I said it, especially to my husband, because he is a man of action, and if I said it out loud, that was going to mean something. We were going to have to do something about it. So I think that's why it took me so long to say it, not because I was scared to say it to him, but because I knew that as soon as I did, he would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there was going to be some change.
Yeah, exactly. And it would probably happen pretty quickly.
Yeah. So you made a pretty big move You packed up and relocated to Sligo, wasn't it? County Sligo, you made the move.
That's right. Yeah. So we moved from County Down. We were living in Hillsborough at the time, and we moved to Sligo. Yeah, which
did,
you know,
that
geographically,
help?
Oh, like massively, because it was more than just, you know, moving to a different place. It was moving for a very clear purpose that, you know, there was a democratic school there, and it was the kind of educational environment that I would be happy for my kids to go into if they weren't being home educated. This was even better, actually, because of the stage that they were at and the age that they were. So I was, that's why we moved. We moved for that particular reason.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so it did help because it solved that part of the puzzle in that they went into that environment and they were so happy, and they continue to be so happy, which then just freed up this space for me to just exhale and start to find my energy again. And it has taken, I mean, we're 3 years in Sligo in August, and there are still days that I feel the burnout and just go, man, it's still there. There's still like there's a residual kind of tiredness in my bones some days. But for the most part, the move here has just been incredibly restorative and life-giving for our whole family. Yeah. It's been amazing.
It's a lovely part of the world.
Oh my goodness.
You know,
it's
it really is just, I suppose, somewhere
really
where you
gorgeous.
Can kind of dip in and out as much as you want and along the coast as well, which is a huge plus. Has this given you time to, is recover, is that the right word? Is it manage it? How would you describe it?
I think it's just been about like remembering the things that kind of like restore my soul, not to put too spiritual a point on it, but, you know, the things that actually make me feel alive and give me a sense of purpose and allow me to actually just, I suppose, heal in many ways from a lot of the years of tiredness and carrying so much on my own and having to defend my choices all the time. And, you know, it wasn't easy. And so, you know, for me, I love to be outside, and we're very fortunate that the property that we rent was it was an old activity center. And so we rent this sort of flat at the top of it. But it's surrounded by, there's a lake and there's a mountain and there's loads of places to walk. And I've just, for the first year, I hardly saw another person. I just spent loads of time
just
outdoors.
Got to enjoy it. Good.
Yeah, just recharging the batteries.
Do you know, for any people listening today, Bethany, that maybe your story resonates with them, and maybe they feel that they're edging, you know, towards burnout. What advice would you give them, or where would you send them?
You know, I thought about this, Andrea, and I think that, you know, for me, although, like I said, although this piece deals with a particular moment and the change that happened, it was years of just paying attention to the gradual changes that were happening. And I think as women in particular, we have this ability to kind of live cyclically, you know, every month in a sort of cycle of in our own bodies. And as humans, the possibility of living cyclically in the year, which is what the piece talks about, you know, doing a women's circle that kind of marks the changes of the year. And I think that it takes a lot of time to kind of identify the things that aren't working. And I think it's important to take time to identify the things that aren't working. So for me, it was a good 4 years of cycling through the Celtic wheel and then cycling every month, just asking questions, trying to really clarify what it was that felt kind of inconsistent in my life. And then, you know, because if you make a big change, it's like a knee-jerk reaction to something that often has fallout, you know, it often doesn't go so well. And I think then the second thing would be about, like I was saying, that safe container. For me, it was the women's circle, a space that was outside of the context of my family with mostly strangers, but an opportunity to create a very safe space to be honest about what's not working.
Well, it's lovely to talk to you, Bethany, today. And thank you so much for sharing your story and experience with us. Your article in The Independent, it's online. It's well worth a read for anybody tuned into you this afternoon. The email, if you want to share your own experience, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Author Bethany Joy Dawson, thanks a million for your time.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.